Galatians 5.
Is that recording?
Yeah. Here we go. And,
yeah, there we go. All right, hi, guys. How we doing?
Hi.
Okay. This might be a long shot, and there's not points for this week like there was last week, but does anyone remember what we've been talking about for the past, like, 4 weeks in Galatians 1 through 4? It could be anything. Jacob's not here, guys, so we got to step it up. Like, come on. Someone knows. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. So, go ahead. Yeah. So, if you can't hear that, what was said was that works are come out of our faith, but they are not what saves us, I think is what you were kind of saying. And then that God loves us no matter what, which are both things we talked about. So you guys do know. Just need the confidence. You got it. That's great. That's great. Yeah. So I'm going to bring us back, like I do every week, to this. Because we love this picture. But I simplified it and I just put it at the end version, right? So we have this, you know, Paul has been talking for the past 4 weeks, if you've not been with us, about the gospel, right? And what the gospel translates to the good news, right? So what is this whole Bible about, essentially? What's the whole point of Jesus? What's the whole point of all these stories of God, of this? And he culminates it all pretty much in this image, which you can see. So we have us and God. And there was a separation between us and God because of sin. And that led to death, right? Because the wages of sin is death, right? We separate ourselves from God, who is perfect, when we are not. But we talked about how Jesus, because he was both fully man and fully God and never sinned, he died on the cross and connected us back to God. This is ringing a bell to some of us who have been here for the past couple weeks. I'd hope so, because I've really, really hammered it. So, we're actually not really going to talk about this that much this week. So, if you guys have been sick of hearing about it, you're in luck, because we're going to kind of change a little bit what we're talking about, but it's still related. So, as I've been talking about this over the past couple weeks, maybe this question has come up to you. That's okay. What now? If my works don't save me, and there's nothing I can do, what am I supposed to do then? Right? Like, if you're telling me, Emily, if you are saying that Paul is saying that my works don't save me, then, like, do I just, like, chill and do nothing? Like, am I just supposed to sit around, kick back, be like, all right, God's got me? And we've kind of touched on this, like, okay, that's not really the case, right? Even David was kind of saying that with the works come out of our faith, right? And so Paul's going to kind of be like, wait, pump the brakes on this concept that you don't do anything, right? Pump the brakes on this that you don't do anything. And so I'm going to use a little bit of a metaphor here. Have you guys ever tried to plant something, whether it was like a seed or like a small plant, and you were like, it's going to grow, like, trust, and then it doesn't? I remember when I was a little kid, I was at my grandparents' house, and I was eating a lemon. And I was like, man, lemons have seeds in them. I wonder if I plant it, it's going to grow a lemon tree, obviously, because that's how it works, right? That's what Sesame Street said. So I'm going to plant it, and I'm going to water it, and then my grandparents are definitely going to water it while I'm gone. And then when I come back, we're going to have lemons for free, okay? It's going to be great. So I plant this seed, and I water it for about 2 days. And I go, Grandma and Grandpa, you have to water my lemon seed. It's in the backyard. It's right here. I put a popsicle stick. It's going to grow, okay? And so I go home, back to Massachusetts. I come back about a year later, and there's not a lemon tree. Now imagine my disappointment, okay? I was taught that if I planted something and I, like, sort of took care of it, that it was going to grow, right? And the reason that it didn't grow, I think most of us know, is because it wasn't in the right conditions, right? Lemons typically don't grow in upstate New York in the middle of winter. They typically grow anywhere else, right? They need sunlight, they need roots to grow, they need water. It's really hard to get something from a seed to actually grow roots and plant up, right? And you're probably like, why are we talking about lemons? Well, It's very similar if we think of our heart as the seed, right? We can put our faith in Jesus, and God plants something in us, right? He plants a spirit in us. We talked about this a few weeks ago, right? How we have the spirit in us. And God expects something to grow, right? Some spiritual fruit, right? See where we're going with this? But that fruit doesn't just grow willy-nilly, right? It doesn't just grow in any condition, in any circumstance, right? When we live for ourselves, that fruit's not going to grow, right? If we're acting in jealousy and anger and pride, we need to feed our faith with God's word, and that's what waters it. Otherwise, we stay stuck and we don't grow, right? If we're not fostering a life of faith, not because that's what saves us, right? It's not that that's saving us, but that's an act of obedience we do to grow in our relationship with Christ, right? And so Paul this week is going to talk about, he's going to kind of use this concept of fruit, right, of bearing fruit, to talk about, okay, so if it's not our works that save us, what does make us different as Christians, right? What sets us apart? You know, why aren't Christians like everybody else, right? What's the difference? And so Paul is going to do something called fruit of the Spirit. Has anyone heard of the fruit of the Spirit, this concept at all? If not, we're going to talk about it, so don't even worry. So he starts by kind of contrasting this, and I'm going to read verses 13 through 22. And so this is, you know, we're skipping a little bit down, but we're going to talk about just this concept. And he says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh." In other words, don't use the freedom that's been given to you to do the wrong thing, right? "Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by one another. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." So walk in the ways of God, in the way of the Spirit, and you will not gratify the evil things in your life. You will not give worth to those evil things. "For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so you are not to do whatever you want. But if you were led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Right, we've been talking about this. And so then, kind of Paul lists a bunch, like a laundry list, like idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, jealousy, rage, of things that are come from our flesh, right, come from us. Right, these things don't come from God. Right, jealousy and anger. He's listing all these things. He's like, listen, these things, this is not God. But he contrasts it. He says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance." I changed it to patience because that's what it means. "Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things, there is no law." Right? So Paul is saying these are fruits of the Spirit, right? Not fruits of the flesh. And so these are not something that we come up with ourselves. Right, like, you can try as hard as you want to be patient. I guarantee you, in about an hour, something will make you feel impatient. Right, you can try as hard as you want to be joyful, but life is going to have moments where joy isn't the natural response, right? We know that. I don't think anyone in this room is not clued into the fact that life goes up and down all the time. But Paul's not saying these are circumstantial fruits. He's saying this is the fruit of the Spirit. Like, when I said earlier in this book, when we talked a few weeks ago about how you have the Spirit of the Lord in you, these things come from the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit that is in you, that when you have accepted into your life, he's like, these are the things that come from it, right? When God has planted that seed of his Spirit in you, this is what grows, right? These are the fruits that grow from it. And so we're going to break each of these down because some of them are a little more like, all right, got it, love, cool. But some of them, you're like, gentleness, what does that even mean, right? What does it mean to be, what does goodness mean? That's a big, big topic in a lot of people. So we're going to break them down one by one. We'll start with love. Now, some people were here for this conversation, but this word agape is a Greek word, right? And this is the kind of love, you know, the Bible is translated, it kind of uses love, love, love. But in the Greek, there's different types of love, right? There's different words used for love. But this word for love is the love that Christ has for you that is completely unconditional, right? That, like, surpasses our understanding. And so it's not an emotion, right? You can tell someone, like, your parents might tell you, I love you. You might tell, like, boyfriend or girlfriend, I love you. And that might be an emotion that you feel towards that person. But that might fade and come, right? Sometimes you feel, you're like, I don't really love you right now. I'm really angry. Like, maybe your parents have gotten really angry with you. And you're like, I don't feel as much love as I did when you were really happy with me, right? God's love doesn't go up and down like that. God's love is steady, right? It's a sacrificial love. It's the love that brought him on the cross. And he died for you because of this love. And so that brings us to John 15:13, which is a pretty hard-hitting verse, but it is something that Jesus said when he was on earth, which is, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Now, this is a little bit, like, prophetic, because Jesus ended up doing that, but he's saying, this is how you are to love one another. Yeah. This is how you are to love one another, right? To be willing to lay down your life, give everything you have for the people around you. And it might seem like, oh, that's kind of morbid, but he's like, no, you should love one another that much because that's how much I loved you. And when I put my spirit in you, I gave you the capability to love that much, right? To love as I love. And then 1 Corinthians says, let all that you do be done in love. Everything. That's a big ask, right? For every single thing we do to be done in love, to be done in this type of sacrificial love, right? It's this massive calling. But Paul is saying, when you have the spirit in you, you have the ability to love like this. Right? And I'm going to kind of tell you what these things are, and then we'll explain, like, how do we do this, right? How do I, like, flip the switch and actually love people like this? We'll talk about that in the end. We're just going to kind of go through them to start, right? Next one is joy. Pretty hard one, because life is not joyful a good amount of the time, right? Things go up and down. And so that's why I said it's not rooted in circumstances, but in Christ, right? Another way to put that is, It's not about the things around you bringing you joy. It's about a joy that is permanent and everlasting, right? A joy that transcends just what's going on in front of you, right? Because, like, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like I feel a million emotions in a day, right? One second I feel great, and then something, like, you know, could happen, and all of a sudden, now I don't feel so great, right? But he's saying this joy is not just like a, oh, I feel happy because something good happened. I feel joy because I know what Christ has done for me, and how could I not feel joyful? And Paul is a really good example of this. Not that he's perfect, but Paul wrote a book called Philippians, and it's known as, like, the happiest book in the Bible. Like, it's known as the most joyful book, and Paul wrote it in prison. Like, in that book, he talks a lot about, my circumstances are not what's bringing me joy, but Christ is. Right? Like, my circumstances, yeah, they're awful, and I can acknowledge that, but I can also acknowledge that I have a hope and a joy that surpasses what's going on right now, right? That's bigger than what's going on right now. And a lot of people will quote, the joy of the Lord is your strength, right? That, you know, Paul, when he was in prison, I would argue one of the things that got him through that time in his life was the joy of the Lord, right? Not the joy of his circumstance, because prison is not fun, but the joy that Christ had given him was what got him through. Peace. Peace is hard, right? Like, I think a lot of, and this word gets thrown a lot around today, like, oh, I'm trying to find my peace, right? Oh, I'm protecting my peace. Like, we hear this a lot, but it doesn't really seem to mean much, right? Because when we try to do that, I don't feel like a lot of us feel peaceful a lot of the time, right? We can think about, you know, not the, like, just peace with God, but the peace of God, right? The peace that God has that he's given to us. And it's not because there's not conflict, right? None of these fruits are because, like, life is easy, right? We all know life is not easy as a Christian, but it's like, in spite of that, you still have this gift, right? Christ has given you the ability to look life in the face and say, yeah, this is hard, but there's a bigger picture here. There's a bigger story. And we have this verse from John where he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, right? The peace, like, that Jesus went on the cross and said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do, right? The peace that put Jesus on that cross, and he knew there was a bigger purpose, even though he was in so much pain and he'd done nothing wrong, right? At the end of it, there was a sort of peace that he had because he knew there was a bigger story, right? And that's the peace that you have been given. And then we have patience. Sometimes it's translated, which I think is honestly a little bit better, is long suffering. And so you're like, suffering, I don't want to suffer for a long time. It's more just like tiding through, right? Not giving up at the instant, right? Enduring not just trials, but delays in our lives. Like, sometimes God promises us things, but they take a long time, right? And we're like, you know, we talked about Abraham last week, right? Like, Isaac took a while to come along. Like, he knew God was going to do it. But I think also patience a lot of times, like, with one another, right? Like, how easy is it to just be like, oh, I'm done. Like, I've given this person so many chances. I've tried to be patient, right? But Ephesians tells us, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. That's like three of the fruits of the Spirit right there in that one verse, right? Paul is really trying to emphasize, and then he says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, he's patient with you. Right? He's like, you don't have to be patient with the Lord, because the Lord's being patient with you. He's being patient while you disobey, while you don't listen. Like, trust me, he's got his timing all figured out. You're kind of the one that's gotta get there. And then we have kindness, which we hear kindness a lot, but kindness isn't just about like being nice, right? Because it's not necessarily hard to be nice. Like, we could always put on a front that we're nice people, but kindness is on purpose, right? It's not just like, oh, I said like hi to that person in the hallway. It's like going out of my way to treat other people how I want to be treated, right? It's like it's a tender concern, and it's how God can reach other people through us, right? Because God shows the utmost kindness to us, so we can show the utmost kindness to others. And I took this verse from Romans where it says, God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. And you're like, how is that relevant? And it's that God has shown you so much kindness that we have to be in awe of it, right? That Christ truly has died for everything awful that we've done. And again, tying it back to love, we're called to do that unto others, right? To show others that kindness. And then we have goodness, which this is one of the weirder ones, I feel like. I feel like this is one where you're like, what does goodness mean? Like, the concept of good in the Bible is really tricky. But to simplify it for the sake of what is Christ going to do when you have his spirit and the fruit of the spirit that is goodness, I said moral excellence, but basically doing what's right. Right? Acting rightly in the eyes of God. Not because we can do it. Again, this is not you. Right? You're not going to act right all the time. But you have the spirit in you that can empower you to do the right thing when your flesh wants to fail. When yourself wants to fail. Right? And I put actively doing what's right even when it's costly. And Romans tells us to overcome evil with good. It's in right before that verse, it says, don't let evil overcome good, but overcome evil with good. Right? Like, literally, like, when you're faced with adversity, when you're faced with people treating you poorly, literally just do rightly. Do rightly in the midst of someone doing wrongly to you, which is a really hard thing. And then we have faithfulness, which is both loyalty to God, but it's also loyalty to one another, right? Showing up when maybe you don't want to or when it's hard to, right? And it's an endurance, right, to show up every day. There might be some people in your life that you're like, these people just give me a really hard time. Like, I feel like they keep getting themselves into circumstances, and I'm like, you're on your own. Like, I'm not going to help you anymore. Right, but faithfulness looks like, I'm going to show up for you. Right, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to be someone if you need that person. And I don't know if you guys have ever heard this, well done, good and faithful servant. But when, you know, Christ is talking to some people about, you know, when we will one day come to face God. Like, you know, you will pass away one day and stand face to face with God. This is what you want to hear, is well done, good and faithful servant. Right? Faithful does not mean you feel like showing up every day, but it means like you do, that you do show up every day. You do decide to try to make the right choice. Right? And you allow God to lead you to making those choices. And then we have gentleness, which is not weakness. Right? That God, you know, Paul does not write weakness here. Be weak. He says be gentle, which you can define as strength under control, right? It's like, I'm not weak. I have the Almighty God on my side. However, I'm also not lashing out at every person that comes in front of me, right? It's choosing, you know, even Jesus, who had the power to do that, described himself as gentle and humble, right? And it's, I took this verse from Proverbs, a gentle answer turns away wrath, right? To combat, again, this concept of combating evil with good, combating wrath with gentleness, right? And combating it with just, hey, like, let's de-escalate the situation. Let's not escalate it. I'm not going to yell back at you when you're yelling at me, but how do we de-escalate that situation? And then self-control. This one's hard, and I think this one covers a lot, right? The ability to say no to yourself and say yes to the Spirit. Right? Say no to the desires that you know are wrong. And sometimes that's easy. Sometimes you're like, I really want to smack this person in the face, but I'm not going to do it because that's wrong. Sometimes you're like, I really want to say this comment that's really not nice, but like, I'm going to say it anyway because like, I really want to like get them where it hurts. Right? And that sounds bad, but we do it all the time. We compromise, right? We're like, well, you know, And we don't have the self-control, which is a discipline, right? It's a discipline to learn self-control. And this is something the Spirit gives us. And Timothy, which I honestly recommend all of you read, it's a really great book, but is a letter that Paul wrote to a guy named Timothy. And he talks about the Spirit of God does not make us timid, does not make us weak, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline, self-control. Right? He's like, the Spirit of God has given you the self-control. He's like, that's the strength. The strength isn't being like, oh, I won the argument or I won the fight. The strength is did I was I able to represent Christ well by controlling the desire of my flesh, controlling the desire of me wanting to lash out, me wanting to be angry, but instead saying, no, I know that that's not what Christ wants of me. And kind of checking yourself before you wreck yourself. You guys ever heard that phrase? Like being like, all right, wait, maybe I can't have this conversation right now. Maybe my emotions are too fired up and I need to step away. And having that self-control. And so you're like, all right, Emily, we've been talking about the law for like the past like 4 weeks. Why are we talking about this? Well, I took this verse from John 15, verses 4 through 5, right? We're going to talk about it in a minute. But Paul's not saying the law is bad, but he's saying the law is not transforming you. It's not making you these things. It's not making you more loving, more peaceful, more gentle, all these things. It's not making you that. What's making you that is the Spirit that Christ has put in you. Right? He's like, you can keep striving the law. You can try. But it's not going to bring you these things. That's not what the law was designed to do. The law was designed to keep you straight, right? To keep you right in the eyes of God, to make you obey. But when you have the Spirit in you, these things will come of the Spirit that is in you. Right? And so how do we get these things? You're probably like, this sounds great, Emily. I would love to be the most loving person ever. But like, it's hard. So what do I do? Like, I've tried to be more joyful, and something always hits. I've tried to be more patient, and then the person in front of me in the drive-thru orders 3 massive meals, and I'm waiting for my one drink. Like, I've tried. I've tried to do these things. But anyway, I've tried to be these things, but it's not working. And I took this verse out of John. It's not from Galatians, but it is something that Jesus said. He says, remain in me as I also remain in you. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And I like to think this is what Paul is calling on. When he says you will bear these fruits, he's thinking the Galatians are going to think of this, right? This Jesus saying this, right? You will bear much fruit. Now, they didn't have the fruits of the Spirit at the time, so they're probably thinking, what are you talking about? Like, what do you mean bear much fruit? Like, people took things very literally, so they probably would have been like in my backyard. Like, am I going to have an apple tree? Is my lemon tree going to grow? And like, all of a sudden, exactly, my lemon tree is going to grow and like, I would be great. No, he's saying, you're going to bear the spiritual fruit if you remain in me, right? The fruit of the Spirit, it's not like a to-do list. It's not like, all right, I was really loving today. Check. I was really good today. Check. It's who Jesus is. It's being an image bearer of Christ, right? Which is what we are called to. And when the Spirit lives in us, he shapes us to be more like Christ, right? And so you were never meant to grow these things on your own strength. You're sitting here thinking, I suck at all of these. Me too, honestly. Like, I'm not good at this. And my encouragement to you is, you're not supposed to be. It's literally the polar opposite of what your flesh and your body is going to tell you. Right? Your heart, you know, the Bible tells us the heart is deceitful above all things. Right? Our inner selves are not going to necessarily always want to be loving and joyful and good and patient and faithful. So we're not meant to stay connected to ourselves. We're meant to stay connected to Christ. He's like, if I remain in you and you remain in me, if we keep this relationship we have going, you know, we just had 2 baptisms last weekend, right? We make this declaration, Christ, I want you in my life. And Christ is like, great. If you stay that way, these things will come of that relationship. Not because of you, but because of me. Because I am in you. And so you're not going to see this overnight, right? Like, if you ever get baptized, you don't come right out of the water and all of a sudden you're like the best person ever, right? This is a time. This is relationship building with Christ, right? Just like if you get to know a new friend, right? You don't, the first thing you ask them is not like, what's your deepest, darkest secret? Right? You ask them like, hey, like, what music do you listen to? You know, like, what do you like to do for fun, right? It's kind of like our relationship with Christ. We start with the little things, right? We start getting to know who Jesus is. We start reading this Bible. We say, who is this Jesus guy? And as we get to know Christ, we can start to imitate him. But we can't imitate him if we don't know him. Right? We can't have these things unless we build a relationship with Christ that fosters them. The more we know Christ, the more we will know what this looks like. Right? Jesus is the example of this. So, we have a little activity for you today. I don't know if any of you noticed, but along the walls are the different fruits of the Spirit. And underneath them, there's papers. And they have prayers for each of these fruits. So as I was talking, or as you think about it, if there's one fruit that you're like, man, I feel like this is, I'm having a really hard time with patience. I'm having a really hard time with self-control or joy. I encourage you to go over to that station and pick up that prayer, and you can pray exactly that. You can pray something similar. You can pray something completely different. But pray and ask the Lord, like, make me more like you in my patience. Make me more like you in my faithfulness. There's also stickers if that motivates you. So, and I encourage you, take it home with you. Put it on your mirror, your, like, desk, wherever it is, somewhere you'll see it. And, like, truly ask the Lord, because I believe that he will do that work in your life if you ask him to. He wants to do that work in your life. And there's also note cards that you can write down. Go crazy. But I really encourage you, don't just go, like, where everyone else is going. Go somewhere where you're like, I really need more of this in my life. I need more peace. I need more patience. Yeah. Ask God what that looks like, and just spend some time. And there will be leaders around if you need someone to talk to or someone to pray with you. But I encourage you to go figure out where that is for you.